Good morning, Maranatha Baptist Church. Good to see you in Sunday school this morning. And wow, what a church. What a blessing. Missionaries, hallelujah. Brother Minion going to go out and his family going to reach Brazil. That's exciting right there. And your church gets to send them out to the glory of God. Brother Maeda, I remember meeting him in Italy and meeting him in Rome and talking to him about the ministry and living for God. And praise God for the faithful missionaries, people getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. And can I just say, Maranatha Baptist Church, this is exciting. It is exciting. I remember the old building, and we got to stay in the prophet's chamber years ago, and getting to speak here at the church. And then Brother Pastor Jim Davidson having the vision to come over to this property. I remember it seemed like we had a secret key, and we came over here one time, and this was just a dream, a prayer, and it felt like we snuck in. We really didn't, but we went around the Davidson Memorial Baptist Church and came in the back door. There was a balcony over there, and just this whole building has been transformed. And I remember going over in the, I want to call it the Sunday school wing, but it used to be the dungeon. And there was a smell that was over there, and it just has grown and been beautified to the glory of God the Father, and the merging of these two churches into the Maranatha Baptist Church, exciting what the Lord is doing here. And I'm so excited to be a part of it. Take your Bibles, if you will, and if you will, turn with me to the wonderful, glorious book. You guys have probably not been there recently, but the book of Hebrews. And if you could, Hebrews chapter number 4, and that's a glorious chapter in the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 4, prayer. Wow, what a theme. Theme of prayer, prayer, prayer. And that's an exciting theme. Amen. That's an exciting theme. And man alive, you get to pray, talking to the Lord God Almighty. Hebrews chapter number 4. And we're going to read two verses out loud together. Chapter number 4, verses 15 and 16. And here we go. Let's try it. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse number 15. Are you ready? Speak with me. Ready? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. You love that verse. We have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, saved us. And because he did that, therefore, when we have a struggle, we need help in time of need, we can come boldly to that throne of grace. We can go to the Lord in prayer. It doesn't get any better than that. And now, we're going to stop. We're going to pray. And then we're going to start again, and I'm going to give you a testimony of prayer, you might say, of my life and my growth and my learning from the Word of God about prayer. And I'm excited about the Sunday school hour or 2 hours or whatever you have going on at this church, and it's going to be great. Let's stop and let's bow our heads, bow our hearts, go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for these wonderful people that are here today, the men and the women. And they love you. They have a heart for you. They love your word. And Lord, without a doubt, we all are in need of you. There are times we need help, and really, it's almost all the time we need your help, Lord. And Lord, help us to see the opportunity we have to go to you in prayer. And I do pray that you help me to decrease, you to increase, help me to be filled with your Holy Spirit, your power. We're going to look at a lot of verses. And I pray that you help it to be a time that we remember, and a time that we remember that we need you. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my name is Matt Nettesheim. I was born into a Catholic family, and my mom and dad were named. My dad, John Zezelak, my mom, Stephanie Ann Steinhoff. They went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, eventually Catholic college. They got married, and I was Matthew Allen Zezulak. The marriage didn't work, At 3 years of age, they divorced, and my dad said bye, not to be seen again. My mom eventually met a man named Keith Nettesheim, and they got married. We got married. We moved from Colorado to Iowa, and those are my first real remembrances of going to church. We were Sunday morning churchgoers, and I remember going to a Methodist church. I remember going to a Baptist church. I remember going for a long time to a community church in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I do remember praying. Remember, this is a testimony of prayer. My remembrance of praying was before a church service. My remembrance of praying was before we ate dinner. My family would gather around at the dinner table, and we would bow our heads, and we would pray for and thank the Lord for our food. That's a good thing, isn't it? And as I got older, we moved from Iowa to Colorado, and in Colorado, we went to a Southern Baptist church right in Lafayette, Colorado, on South Boulder Road. I remember the pastor, Pastor Bill Archer. I remember the vacation Bible school, Sunday morning Christians, and I remember the day. I remember it very well. My dad came home, and the preacher preached a message, and there was the term of giving or tithing or giving to missions, something to that extent. My dad came home, we're never going back to that money-grabbing preacher's church again. And so my life changed. We were a conservative family, and we were a God, we believed in God. We tried to live a life that pleased God, and I knew that the Bible was the Word of God. I had that belief and that foundation right there. But my dad, he started to try to earn money and make money. He started a business and began to work all the time. I very rarely saw him. And our family went from conservative, staying away from sin, to more carnal, if you understand what that means. By the time I got into high school, my life was different. I believed in God. There was something inside of me that had that belief in God. I had the belief in the Word of God. Did I pray at that period of time? No, didn't even think about it. And as I got older, my sin in my life became more prevalent. I moved out of my house when I was in high school. Eventually, my life was going nowhere fast. I joined the Navy. Oh my. And got into the Navy, went to boot camp in Orlando, the Lord gave me an opportunity to go to an electronics school. An electronics school in Chicago. Somebody, while I was playing ping pong, invited me to church. I took the church bus to church, and somebody gave me the gospel, gloriously saved. And I remember the preacher. I remember getting there, going, and that preacher was in his 60s, and man, was he excited. He was excited about the Word of God, and often he would say, Christians, pray, because Christians need the Lord. And I had a desire to pray. We do need the Lord, but how in the world do you pray? Now, I began a habit to thank the Lord for my food, and I began to have it to try to pray before I went to bed, and I tried to begin to have it, but often I had no idea how to pray. I felt inadequate in my prayer, and somebody would preach on prayer or teach on prayer. I would I wouldn't do it. I started to sort of smile and bow my head a little bit, knowing my inadequacies in my prayer life. Now, reading the Bible, hey, that's something tangible. I can read my Bible, and I begin to grow. And I remember, you know, you're in my 20s, and you're trying to learn, and you're trying to grow in those things. Now, I want to continue on. I want you to look at a few of these Bible verses. And if you know them, for time's sake, well, you can turn to Jeremiah 33:3. Do you know it? Jeremiah 33:3, say it with me. Call unto me, and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, some of you need to learn that verse right. That's a glorious verse. Mark that down. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, God's phone number. I remember getting a hold of God's phone number, and it's a good verse. Come to me. Man, I have an opportunity to call on the Lord. Exciting, very exciting verse. I remember learning that verse, but still, in my growth in prayer, there's struggles, there's difficulties. What about this? Matthew chapter 6, verses 26? Go over and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Look at this. Matthew chapter 26. 26? No, chapter 6, verse 26. Do what I think, not what I say, okay? Oh, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And as you begin to think about that, this whole chapter is showing that God cares about your needs. We get to Matthew chapter 6, the famous verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." In other words, part of prayer is realizing that God cares for your needs. God cares for you. Now, you know, I wear my shirt and tie, and I got my suit on. And probably I'm the only one in here that ever struggles right there, but there's a battle in my life between my flesh and my spirit. And sometimes outwardly, woo, God's good. And I believe the Bible, and I don't necessarily always talk about those inner struggles that I have, but in truth, I have them. I wish I'd say that I had those inner struggles once a year or once every 10 years, but truly, I have those struggles every day. And when I have those struggles, one of the things that's going to help me is realize that God cares for my needs. And that's prayer, is God knowing and understanding that you have needs and he cares for those needs. This is interesting. You go on a little bit further to go to Colossians chapter 4. Look at this. Colossians chapter 4. Oh, yeah. The book of Colossians. An amazing book. The Apostle Paul, writing that church at Colossae, and reminding them. In chapter number 4, look at verse number 2. You see this? What? Prayer. Say those three words with me. Continue in prayer. And Paul, he's a little wound up about the matter right there, and he's trying to remind the folks of Colossae, continue. And it's another thing, prayer is a command. And, you know, as I begin to study and think about prayer and my growth, preachers would preach, you're commanded to pray, but the inadequacies, okay, I understand it's a command, I just feel like, how in the world could I pray? I know it's a command right there. And by the way, prayer is a command. And so, as you're growing in your life, you realize we should pray as Christians. God does care about our needs. It's commanded that we pray, but pray. And if you turn over, look at this. This is interesting. And Psalm chapter number 5. Psalm chapter number 5. It is intimidating standing in front of the Maranatha Baptist Church with this good group of people right here that have it all together. And I appreciate you guys all togetherness. I don't have it all together. And prayer is actually realizing that in truth, we don't have it all together, okay? We don't. We are imperfect people, sinners saved by God's grace who have a desperate need of God. And look at this. This is a wonderful Psalm of David, chapter number 5, verse 3. Look at this. Read it with me. Verse number 3. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." And this is important. The prayer right here of David right there, he's reminding and just saying, "Thy voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." He's just saying, I make it a regular habit of praying in the morning. In the morning, I get up, I look up, I pray to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And part of our prayer life is to have a regular prayer life. I'm going to get back to my testimony of what's helped me with this in a tremendous way, but we should pray regularly. Amen. We should pray regularly. Holy mackerels, we ought to pray regularly. Christians, it's just what Christians do. Christians pray. Look at this in, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You've all memorized this. Pray without ceasing. And there's regular prayer. There's prayer throughout the day. We ought to pray continually. Hebrews chapter number 11, we know a very, very famous verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And we go to God in prayer. We go in faith and believing and understanding that God has the power and the ability to help us in time of need. That's why we go boldly to that throne of grace. Now, we ought to pray with the right motives. Go over to James chapter number 4, if you will. We got to pray with the right motives. Oh, yes. Motives do matter. Motives definitely matter. Motives matter. James chapter number 4, if you look at verse number 2, the Bible says this. James chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask what? Amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." In other words, when you pray, you ought to pray regularly. Well, you ought to pray without ceasing, continually. You ought to pray with the right motives. When you go in prayer, we ought to go to the Lord with the right. And then we go over to 1 John chapter 5. Go over to 1 John chapter number 5. Look at this. Man, the Bible's good. Glorious book. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." Confidence. When you go to prayer, you're praying in faith, you have confidence. You're going to the Creator of the world. Nothing is impossible with Him. "If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." And part of our prayer is praying with the right motives, and not only praying the right motives, but actually praying according to God's will. And wow, we get to pray and get to the point where our desire is what God desires for us. John chapter 14, look at this. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse 13. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," and that's important, "whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," those two words, "my name," "and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we say amen, and we pray in the name of Jesus. And so we're going to learn. We know prayer. We can come boldly to that throne of grace. We pray regularly. We pray continually all the time. We know we're to pray with the right motives. We know we're to pray, "Thy will be done." And then we're to pray in Jesus' name. And though we're laying building blocks on actually how to have a prayer life. Now, for me, I get saved. Everybody in the church has been in church their whole life, I thought. Everybody in the church has no problems. I'm the only one that has problems, I think. Everybody in the church knows how to pray, but me, I think. And I struggle. I struggle with inadequacies. I struggle with trying to figure this out. And then I begin to grow. I begin to learn these verses. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." I begin to understand the fowls of the air. God cares about the fowls of the air as He cares about me. And I begin to lay this foundation. Start thinking about this and then begin to attempt and try to learn how to pray. You know, in Acts chapter 1, you know, Jesus ascended up into heaven. What did the disciples do? What did the men of the church and the ladies of the church, they gathered together and they prayed. And we look at that. There's times of public prayer, that corporal prayer, praise the Lord. You have those spring revivals where you have cottage prayer meetings. Those are glorious days. And sometimes you have to just meet at the church and you gather together in those big prayer meetings where you break up as a church in the prayer groups and you're calling on the Lord. Those are some exciting, exciting times, glorious times. And remember, Miss Nessheim, that one time we invited the whole church over to our house? And man, we had the ladies downstairs and all of us men up in this upper room, you might say. We had 50 guys up there and we're crammed in there and it's like 110 degrees and we're sweating bullets. And then we get done and the ladies are more spiritual us in the air conditioning downstairs. They're still praying. And we're like, then we begin to pray, "Lord, help them to finish quickly." And but you have those wonderful prayer times as a church, corporal prayer times. But then there's a time for private prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. "And when thou prayest as an individual, thou shalt not as the hypocrites are, For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a time for public prayer, corporal prayer, church prayer, but really for us, where we struggle more than anything is that time of private prayer, a time where we're not on that street corner, look at me pray, where we get alone with God in secret, a secret place. And in doing so, we're to pray earnestly. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth not. And we ought to pray, and this is where I want to get to. We're going to pretty much the rest here in Matthew chapter 6. Go over there, Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to show you something that was taught to me, and it changed my prayer life forever. And I learned this. It helped me in such a great way. And it's sort of, you might use the term praying with a plan. And praying with a plan. Now, you're turning Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Turn there. Matthew chapter number 6. Now, can I tell you that many people struggle with prayer? Amen. And so it's not uncommon. So let's say you go to the thrift store. And have you ever been to a thrift store? And you look, and probably if you even went to Shelby, North Carolina, in a thrift store like I did yesterday, in the matter of just a little bit, I found me a book on prayer. It's called The Prayer Code. Oh, yeah. It's unlocking the ability to pray. It's exciting. This is an exciting book right here. And all you have to do is you don't have to think about God. You just read these prayers. And it's like you say these words in this book right there. It's good as done. It's exciting. The Prayer Code. Exciting. Okay. If that doesn't work for you, you get the Diary of Private Prayer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Found right here in Shelby, North Carolina, and yesterday. And so this book is good because this gives you, at least a month worth of prayers. And so all you have to do is get up every morning. You take your prayer journal book right there, and you get that voice right there. Blessed be thou, most glorious God. And you don't think necessarily, you don't even think about what you're saying. You just read the prayer. Okay, you don't do that. That's not the answer. But the point being is, so many people are looking how to pray. They're discouraged about prayer. I've been there. I've done that. I've wrote the book. And then when somebody taught me and brought me to this point right there and showed me the model prayer, and I began to think about it, holy mackerels, it changed my prayer life in a great way. By the way, for some of you, a mackerel is a fish. And there's no such thing. I don't think there's such a thing as a holy mackerel. It's a terminology, and I have no idea why I say it. So just have mercy on me, okay? How many of you have mercy on me? Just raise your hand. Mercy on me, okay? Some of you are not very merciful people, okay? Here we go. Look at this. Matthew chapter number 6, if you will. And look at this. This is amazing. And let's read it, starting in verse number 9. You ready? Read it with me. Try to read, especially you men, with that manly voice. Ready? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Wow. Now, somebody said to me, and you've actually seen these on walls, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Then somebody said to me one time, he said, well, we could look at it more like this, the model prayer, the recipe for prayer. And you start with it, and you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, you start there, and they begin to teach me, Our Father, remember who God is. Our Father, which art in heaven. So start a prayer by not necessarily, but stopping and saying, God, you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the one that created the heaven and the earth. You've given me life. You've given me breath. You've given me the opportunity to live. God, you are on the water of Galilee in this storm, you said, peace be still. God, you're the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God. You care for me. You love me. And you stop and you pray and you just understand who God is. Remind yourself who God is. Now, here's an issue, and we all know the issue, and it's one of those issues, sort of like the elephant in the room. It's not reciting necessarily the words. It's not every morning get up saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and quoting that in vain repetition. It's not that. But it's using this as your model. So when I learned to pray, somebody said, what you do is stop and remember, Our Father, which art in heaven. And you take that first part, and you stop, and you remember that model, that little recipe right there. God, you're in heaven, a glorious God, a holy God, hallowed be thy name. A holy God. Do you remember Revelation chapter 4? When they got in front of the holy God, what'd they do? They fell down. And in reality, when we pray, we're falling down and realizing we serve a holy God, a righteous God, a powerful God. And when I come to that throne of grace, I'm going to the Almighty God. He deserves our respect. He deserves our honor. He deserves our prayer. And when we go to Him, we're going in that spirit of Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when I pray, as I did this morning, I went to God, I said, God, you're a holy God, a righteous God, a powerful God. I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for my breath. And I really took some time to praise Him. I praised Him and thanked Him for my trip down to here, my family. I thanked Him for my friendship with your pastor. I thanked Him for the Maranatha Baptist Church and the people that are here. And I thanked Him for the food that I've eaten. Boy, I had two yogurts this morning to the glory of God. And and I'm praising Him and thinking about what a glorious, wonderful, powerful God. Hallowed be thy name. Then the next part, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Say that with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, this is a hard part. And it's hard for me because I'm strong-willed. I have my ideas. I have my ways. And in life, I have my gumption, you might say, or my desires for my life. And I wake up in the morning. There's some things I'm going to get done today because I want to do it. And there's a battle inside of me. But when you go to the Lord's Prayer, every day I have to humble myself and submit to God's will. Thy will be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So this model prayer, I'm going to God, holy God, righteous God, and by the way, God, doesn't matter what I want today, doesn't matter what I desire today, it doesn't matter what I think needs to get done, boy, it doesn't matter how I think it needs to be done or anything like that. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. God, I want your will to be done with my life today. I want my life to honor you. I want my life to be pointing people to you. And in that point, sometimes I do suck to, you know how I struggle sometimes being nice to people that sometimes I want to let them have it. Okay, that's, none of you are like that. See, you pastor good people. Chesapeake Baptist Church, we have a bunch of sinners at our church. And so none of you would ever want to do that. I understand. You guys are good people. I'm not going to try to rub you the wrong way. Continue to be good people. But in my life and our church, we have a lot of wicked, rotten sinners who sometimes, but I say, God, it doesn't matter if I want to do that. God, I want your will to be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to take this day, and live for you. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, that's awesome. Give us this day our daily bread. And at that point, give us this day our daily bread. I have a lot of needs in my life. I know a lot of people that have needs in their life. So this morning when I was praying, I was thinking about the preachers preaching at our church this morning. A man teaching Sunday school for the first time this morning. A lady in our church teaching a Sunday school class for the first time this morning. And I was praying for the song leaders. I was praying for the seniors. I was praying for the people that have health problems. And I was thinking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then give us this day our daily bread. There's so many needs. I pray for my wife. I prayed for my kids. I prayed for the different church plants. I prayed for missionaries. I was praying for their needs. Do you understand how powerful that is? Boy, that model prayer. Boy, you're realizing who God is. Boy, I can go to that throne of grace. Wow, that's awesome. Boy, thy will be done. My will doesn't matter. My ways don't matter. Boy, then praying for the needs of God's people and praying for souls to be saved, praying for the hearts of people and praying for those needs. Then we get to the next part, and that's sort of a bigger portion right there. Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. Now stop right there. Forgive us our debts. You know, this morning, I didn't want to come to church here not right with God. I don't want to stand before you this morning without a heart that's clean with God. I don't, matter of fact, on Monday, I don't want to live a day where I'm not right with God. Model prayer is powerful because every day you're making sure that you have a clean slate with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from, not some, but all unrighteousness. And so even this morning, I thought of something that I hadn't gotten right with God. And so I said, God, I'm a knucklehead. And I said that, I'm a knucklehead. And that may not be proper vernacular, but that's what I said. God, I did it again. Have mercy on me. God, please forgive me. I don't want to live my life where I'm far away from you or I have an ought with you, God. Forgive me. It's done. It's clean. And imagine doing that every day. It's glorious. It's wonderful because you never get far from God. You never get off course where you're the prodigal son, where you're miles and miles away from God. You may have a little bit of an issue because you go a day, but you really ought to get right with God right away. But sometimes that gives you a clean slate. Then forgive us our debts, we forgive as we forgive our debtors. As we, that could be maybe the most needed here. Because we not God-like sometimes. And we want, and we go to God for forgiveness, then somebody does something against us, and boy, we'll hold that grudge for years, decades. How dare they did that 20 years ago? Do you remember the way they looked at me? And then we don't forgive them. And you know what? When all of a sudden you go to the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, you get forgiveness from God, and then immediately you take care of business. You forgive anybody out there that done something. It doesn't mean that they've gotten right with you. That doesn't matter. But you have mercy on them. You treat them better than they deserve to be treated. You forgive them. 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 Boy, that's freeing. You're unshackled. Unshackled. The Lord's Prayer, that model's prayer, unshackles you daily from bitterness. It unshackles you daily from the wrongs of the world. It's a glorious, freeing way to live. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I love this part of the prayer. I quote that, then I say, God, wow. Today, I have no idea what's right around the corner, but you do. Lord, protect me. Protect my family, guide every word, guide every thought. Boy, help me to have wisdom in decisions that I don't even know I need to make right around the corner. God, help me. And then the last part of it, where it's like the grand finale, and it's amazing, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And how do you not amen that? That's a way for thine. You know what he's saying right there. And I used to say that at one time. I didn't understand. It's at the end of the prayer. He's giving you the model prayer. It says, part of yourself, how good it is to be a Christian, how good it is to be saved by the blood of the crucified one. It doesn't get any better than living for God. Man, it doesn't. It doesn't get any better than living for God. A pastor came to our church a few weeks ago, preached a Wednesday night and a Sunday night, and what a great man, great man. And he looked at our church. We had some good church services, and he spent some time with my family, and he wrote me a handwritten letter. I got it, I think, Friday, and I opened that thing up and looked at it, and one of the parts of it, he said, and I can't quote it verbatim, but he says, Your family's doing good. You're thriving. Your family's thriving. Your church is thriving. What more would you want out of life? And when I thought about it, man alive, yeah, my family's thriving. Boy, we have a Christian home. It doesn't get any better than having a Christian home. It doesn't get any better than serving the Lord. It doesn't get any better than going to church. You have those two things where you have church and the Christian home, and you're living for God and the will of God. And man, for thine is the kingdom. You know, you're not missing out. You are not missing out. You folks that are going off to Bible college, you're breaking your glasses. That's terrible, isn't it? Now, I won't be able to see my church notes in the sermon there, and so you're just going to have to bear with me on the next sermon, okay? And we get there. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. Nothing better than living for God. And when you get to that model prayer and you pray that every day and you think about that, you think about, man, it's been good serving the Lord. By the way, maybe it hasn't been good your last day because you haven't been living for God. So you got God forgiveness. You get forgiveness. Then you go to God and say, God, it is nothing better than serving you. Then you get a good day. You have a good day. You look back and you say, woo, living for you was great yesterday. By the way, it's great. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, you're filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. It's good to be a Christian. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, here's the end. Christian home, eh. Family out of church, eh. Prayed before. Everybody at church knows how to pray. I don't. I feel inadequate. But I get in to grow. I get in to learn verses. Somebody helped me see that model prayer right there. Then I began to put that into practice. And it just becomes a part of your life. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's freeing. Man, prayer is glorious. We come boldly to that throne of grace. I want to beg and plead with you. You have a year of prayer, a year of reminding you of the importance of prayer. You might even get a little chart that reminds you of these verses on prayer today. Man, that's a glorious booklet right there. And then you can spend time in prayer. Boy, praise God for that. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for this wonderful group of people. Thank you for the privilege.